We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. We are studying the book of Ephesians, and having been considering this passage about warfare, the Christian's warfare, we are into a little section about prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That is the King James Version, or Authorized Version. And the NIV, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We have for 2 weeks been considering what it means to pray in the Spirit, because the Apostle Paul says we should always pray in the Spirit. But now we're coming back to this verse, to the four alls of prayer in this verse. In the Greek, four times the word all is used, and we can learn a lot, therefore, from that. And the first of them is that we should pray on all occasions, as it is in the NIV. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, or always, all the time. Not all the time in the sense of the passage of time. There are two Greek words for time. One is chronos, from which we get words like chronology, or a chronometer, a thing that tells you the passing of the minutes and the hours. But there's another word for time which means seasons or occasions. And that's the word which the Apostle Paul uses here. He doesn't say that you should never do anything else except pray, and that you should be praying all the time, every minute of every day. There are times when you ought to be out doing something else. You're concentrating on your daily work, or you're concentrating upon conversation with some person, or you're evangelizing, or I'm preaching, or whatever gift or service or ministry God has given to you. And it is even possible, if I could say this as an aside, it's even possible sometime to be praying when you ought to be doing something else. Now, of course, we're conscious of the nearness of the Lord, whatever we're doing. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There may be many times in the day when we might just pause to pray as we're doing something else. But he doesn't mean that we're praying always, that we are never ever doing anything else but praying, is to go to sleep, which I have sleep, and so on. You know what I'm talking about. No, it's all occasions or all seasons. In other words, for example, when it goes badly, or seems to be going badly, then pray. But when it seems to be going well, then pray. When you're up, pray. When you're down, pray. When you're in health, pray. When you're in sickness, pray. When you get up in the morning, what a lovely thing it is if one of the first things you do, if not the first thing, is to greet the Lord and pray. Not perhaps necessarily a long time of prayer just right then. That's for each person to work out for themselves. But at any rate, to thank the Lord for sleep and for a safe arrival of a new day, and to commit the day to Him, either as you lie there or as you sit on the edge of the bed, feeling perhaps a bit allergic to mornings, but just saying, good morning, Lord, and please be with me today. I know that you will. When you go to bed, when you get up, when you go to bed, say good night to the Lord and thank him for the day, perhaps with other things as well. Before meals, to thank him for our food when so many people in the world have not enough to eat. Or after meals, when we greet people and we meet them, it's nice for us to thank God for our loving friendship or fellowship. Or when we say goodbye, before and after church services, we say grace, as we call it, before we're going to take our physical food, to thank him for it. Well, we should do so before we take our spiritual food. What do you do when you come in according to evangelical tradition and sit down and bow your head? C.H. Spurgeon, who in his day they used to wear hats a lot, you know, the men I mean, not just the women, but the men, and they took their hats off. And he said that all that many of them did was to read the name of the maker of the hat when they were bowed. You see, it's our tradition, isn't it, that when you come in, you sit down, and then you just do that, you see. And many of us have done that, or do it. And we're not praying at all, we're just pretending to. But it's just a habit. But that's wrong. We should pray, and we should say grace. Or, if you like, thank him for his grace, that we're here, and that we have come to worship, that he will help us to worship in spirit and truth, and that we might hear the word of God. Feed me, Lord, from your word. Teach me. Make me ready to listen to what you have to say to me. And then afterwards, the devil will try and snatch the word away from us, or take away from us the spirit of worship that we have received in God's presence. So, before and after church services, and during the service, before and after journeys, please keep us safe, Lord, if it please you, on the road. Help us to drive carefully, or walk carefully, and so on. And thank him for what we sometimes call journeying mercies, protection on the road. How easy it is to just arrive and never say thank you for a safe arrival. Pray before making decisions. Sometimes the Lord Jesus spent all night in prayer before choosing his disciples, for example, or before or during important discussions on anniversaries. Many people, they go out for a meal on their wedding anniversary, but do they have a special time of prayer for God's grace to them over another year of married life, or whatever the anniversary happens to be, a birthday? Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. We will pray at all times, on all occasions. It also means, of course, with other people as well as alone, on all occasions. There will be times when we pray alone. There will be times when we pray as a family, if we possibly can. You may be the only Christian in your family, and so you can't do that. But bless God if that's not so, and you have someone in your family you can pray with, or the whole family to meet with God. Some of us need to be more disciplined about this. It can easily go by the board. Or with friends, or with loved ones. Prayer fellowship, even over the phone. When I was at Keswick last week, one of the precious things were the times of prayer in the morning. You know, I could eat a much better breakfast, as a matter of fact, because we got up and went down to the Southern Street Methodist Church where we met for prayer every morning, and then returned to the hotel. And by the time we got back there, I was really ready for my mixed grill, and I can't usually eat anything like that. So that's obviously a good thing to do, come to the early morning prayer meeting. You'll eat a better breakfast. But one of the little precious times of prayer I remember having was with Michael Bourne, the rector of All Souls Langham Place, one of the biggest and most blessed churches in England, in Britain. I had heard of Michael Bourne, of course. He's written many, many hymns, was responsible with others for youth praise, and then youth praise too, and psalm praise. We often sing his hymns here. For instance, Blessed is the man that does not walk in the council. That was written by Michael Bourne. He's written a lot of music, and he's also written a book, Moses, Venture of Faith, which we sold quite a lot of copies of, and I commend it all to you. It's very good indeed. But we've never met until the prayer conference at Mapledon for Keswick earlier in the year, and that was very brief. But this time we had a week together, but we were both so busy. And especially I was preaching every night to the youth meetings, you see. So I hardly seemed to get out of my bedroom, because as soon as we got back from the meetings in the morning, it was head down to prepare for the evening. But on the last day, on the Friday, we said to the Bournes, you know, shall we have an hour out together, if we possibly can? He was busy getting ready to preach at All Souls today, and I was getting ready to preach here, plans down. But we pledged that at 4:30, come what may, if we possibly could, we would meet and go out in the car for an hour. We would just have an hour. We hadn't seen the lake. We'd hardly seen a mountain except from the distance. And so we met them and we got in the car and we drove, those of you who know Keswick in that area, we drove round to Borrowdale. We stopped at Grange in Borrowdale, and Michael and Myrtle Bourne treated us to a King Cone Lion's ice cream. And we chatted together as we walked by the bridge and the river there, and we were putting the church and the world to rights, you know, as ministers do when they meet together. But then on the way back, on the other side of the lake, we stopped in a little place overlooking the sea, overlooking the lake. And Michael wanted to take a photograph. He hadn't a photograph from there. He had hardly been out. And then he got back in the car, and we closed the windows. And there, beside the lake, we just had a little time of prayer together. And it was very precious. I shall never forget it. And I think if I ever go back to Keswick and I drive along that road and I pass that little spot, I shall remember that there, Michael Bourne and I and our wives, we had prayer fellowship together. Do that, beloved, on as often as you can. On all occasions. At all times. But the second all is all kinds of prayer. All kinds of prayer, says the apostle. With all prayer, always, with all prayer and supplication, the prayer and supplication, all kinds of prayer. There are different kinds. Some of us remember it best with the word acts. You can make up your own word with each letter standing for something, but A-C-T-S, you see, the early church were a church of prayer. We read of their prayer meetings in the book of Acts. A, adoration or praise. C, confession. We come before the Lord and say we're sorry for the things that we have done wrong and said wrong and thought wrong, and the things that we have not done that we should have done, and the things we didn't say that we might have said that would have been kind and helpful, and so on. We're specific. We saw that. If we pray in the Spirit, we're specific in our confession and our thanksgiving. Well, a mark of a Christian, the Bible says in verse after verse, is that he has a thankful, praising heart. Even in prison, even in the stocks, with his back bleeding, the apostle sang praises to God at midnight. We're going to see next week, if God wills, how he asked them to pray for him. He didn't ask them to pray they might get out of prison. He wrote this in prison. But that wasn't the most important thing. Though I'm sure he would much rather have been free than in prison. But the mark of a Christian is that through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble as well as in joy, the praises of his God shall be upon his lips, because he has a thankful and a praising heart. And if we are complaining people and murmuring people like the Israelites were, who had been redeemed from slavery and brought out of Egypt with a mighty arm, and had seen a demonstration of the power of God, and yet they were murmuring and grumbling and complaining, we ought to be ashamed. We should come before God with confession and say, I'm sorry that I moan so much when you've done so much for me. I want to be thankful. Teach me, O Lord, to be thankful. Not just before meals, but for everything. And supplications, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplications or petitions or requests. That would be the modern word. Requests. In the Spirit. To the point. Definite. If it be his will. You know, one of the reasons I think we don't pray more often together with friends may be because either they pray, the other person prays too long, or they're rambling. I think that it would be good if we could be disciplined in our prayer times to pray with a friend or husband and wife. It's a sad thing if a Christian husband and wife never pray together. And some of us need to learn to pray far more often than we do. You see, praying in the Spirit is praying sometimes when you don't feel like it, as we probably will say again in a minute. It's not just when I feel the Spirit moving in my heart I will pray. It's the discipline of prayer, praying together. And conversation prayer can be very precious with a friend, a Christian sister or brother, husband, wife. So in other words, it isn't that one person says we will pray and he prays and that's that. But the two people pray, and they don't just pray once each. but they keep on praying. I wasn't at the meeting, but June was telling me, I think it was Louis Puller, was it, who said that somebody came to pray with him in the bank when he was a young Christian, and they each prayed. The other chap prayed first, then Louis Puller prayed, and then the other chap prayed again. Is that right? Prayed again. You don't pray again. So he prayed again. Then the other chap prayed again. And the more they prayed, the more precious it became, and the more rich it became, because the other chap's thoughts linked on, you know, it deposited something in his mind. But the thing is, if you're going to do this, beloved, don't pray too long. So that you're praying for one thing, but the other chap's praying that you'll shut up because he's bored to death. Or he can't concentrate anymore, or he's lost it. So if we have conversational prayer, it's a lovely thing. But pray to the point, and specifically. And then the other person can pray something, and that might trigger off something in your mind, then you will pray something. And so you go on in prayer like that. And don't be rambly in your prayer. Not too long and not too rambly. To the point. All occasions. Second all times. Third all, with all perseverance. The King James is better here because it brings out the all. What's the NIV got? With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. That's right. Always keep on praying. Well, that brings out the meaning. But it's with all perseverance. Now, there may be some of you here this morning who were not here 2 weeks ago, so if so, flick back to Romans 8:26, because I want every one of us to have this verse writ large in our hearts. Romans 8:26. I was sharing it with the young people's meetings at Keswick as well. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit is given to help us in our weakness. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. He prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, that doesn't mean, let me repeat, that doesn't mean that the Spirit will pray for us from inside our hearts so that we don't have to bother to do it. The Spirit is not given to make us lazy and to do things for us that we should be doing. He is given to help us to do the things we should be doing. His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And what is it that he witnesses for us to say? Abba, Father. In other words, that we might pray with confidence to our Heavenly Father. So his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us through our spirit together to pray to God. And as we said, sometimes there are times when we just can't. We can't construct sentences. We can't put words together. We can only groan. We can only cry. We can only wet the pillow with our tears. Read the book of Psalms. What a book the book of Psalms is. There's no book in the Bible that more exalts the greatness of God. He is King. And yet there's no book in the Bible that more shows the weakness of the human heart and the tenderness of God to those who are down. And in place after place, the psalmist pours out his soul, and God's Spirit has inspired it to be written down for our encouragement and so that we might see it reflected in ourselves. And then the Spirit prays for us with groanings too deep to be uttered, but not to make us lazy. We're to keep on praying, and the Holy Spirit will help us to do so. All perseverance. We saw 2 weeks ago when I was here in the evening from that parable of the persistent widow, sometimes called the unjust judge, introduced by our Lord Jesus Christ, that people ought always to pray and not give up. There's a tendency to give up. It's hard work, is prayer. It's not a case of every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. It's a case of I will go on praying when I don't feel like praying. When I don't feel like praying. Cultivate the habit of prayer. Quiet time. It comes in for a bit of stick sometimes today. but it's a good thing, a QT, to have a time each day when you meet with the Lord. A quiet time. A QP is a good idea too, a quiet place. Might be your bedroom, but if you share a bedroom with someone else, that can be difficult. Although I, when I was in the Royal Air Force, I roomed with an atheist, and I would kneel every night for my quiet prayer time, and he was always respectful and quiet, and yet he ridiculed my religion, and I was rebuked by him one morning. I thought he was asleep when I came in, and I was terribly tired, and I got into bed and went to sleep, and he said to me the following day, "You missed it last night." I said, "Missed what?" He said, "You didn't pray. If you believe what you say you believe, you shouldn't miss it." I said, "You're right." I had to be rebuked by an atheist, because we believe in prayer. Cultivate the habit. The Apostle Paul says, keep alert, keep watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Keep alert, says the NIV. We drove back from Keswick through the night, took David Jackman home to Southampton, wasn't that good of us, and then we came on to Bournemouth, and we drove through the night. I've never seen so much traffic on a motorway in the middle of the night. It was unbelievable. It was like a heavy traffic motorway in the middle of the day. There it was in the middle of the night. And the queues for petrol at the service areas, they were, well, hundreds and hundreds of yards long. And they'd had to put notices up, no queuing for petrol on the motorway itself. I don't know what you're supposed to do if you ran out then in the middle of the motorway. But it was so busy, and it was through the night. And David was sitting beside me, and there was someone else who shall be nameless sitting behind me, who kept poking me and saying, "Are you awake?" "Yes, I'm all right. Yes, I'm all right." Well, we're not meant to be on the grass, you know. We're meant to be on... "Are you awake? Do you want another merriment? Shall we stop for some coffee? Keep up the conversation. Keep talking." So you keep awake and alert. Absolutely right. And there is a Holy Spirit who has been given to us, and he lives in our hearts, and he says to us, "Hey, wake up. Keep awake. Keep alert. All perseverance. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying." And I think we need to encourage one another. You know, when Moses was praying for Israel in their battle, in their fight, it was hard work. He grew tired in prayer. But he had helpers to prompt him, to support him. Aaron and Hur. And so, Israel prevailed. They won the victory. And there are many people who are in the fight. You see, this prayer verse, verse 18, is of course deliberately put here by the apostle because of the fight. He's been talking about the fight. We need to always go on praying because of the fight. And if we don't pray, then we shall begin to lose. The devil and his demons will begin to win or prevail. Amalek will prevail. And it may be that somebody for whom we should be praying will begin to find that they're being defeated, or the battle is stronger and hotter, and the strength that they should have is not coming because we are failing them in prayer. And we need to keep poking one another, as the somebody who should be nameless kept poking me. It would be good if we knew them well enough, another Christian, to say, "Are you keeping up your prayer time?" We mustn't preach at people and do it in a wrong way, in a holier-than-thou way. But if two young couples, for instance, were close in their fellowship, and they shared with one another that they'd found it difficult to keep up their prayer time together, and they shared this, well then, wouldn't it be nice if they could, when they met, say, are you keeping it up? Are you keeping alert? Are you watching thereunto? And we provoke one another in this way, or stir one another up, or encourage one another to good works, and the best work is prayer. Because as the hymn says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. All right, so we've had all occasions, all kinds, all perseverance. And now the last of all is for all saints. for all saints. For all the saints was a definite article in the Greek. Now you notice, he means Christians. Let me remind you again, we misuse this word saint completely. It doesn't mean dead Christians or gone to heaven Christians. It doesn't even mean special Christians, whether canonized by the Roman Catholic Church or by evangelicals. He's a real saint. She's a super saint. Yes, well, there are some, of course, who are better Christians than others, and we are a bit lost for a word to use. But we must remember every single Christian is a saint. A sanctified one. Somebody who has been set apart by the Holy Spirit and whose body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I was telling the young people at Keswick, give your body to the Lord because he's bought it. And it's a temple, it's a shrine, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. And so it belongs to him. You're a saint. You are different. The last talk I gave, go out into the world and be different. Don't try and be like the world. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Your whole thinking will be different because you're a Christian. You're a saint, a sanctified one, a holy person, one of God's people. So the last all is pray on all occasions and keep on praying with all kinds of prayer for all other Christians. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine who'd had a bit of trouble with some people in his church who seemed so self-centered and selfish and who thought the whole church should revolve around them and that nothing should be done unless they approved of it. And what is the church doing for me? And he said, let your mirrors become windows. Is that the word of the Lord to you this morning? Let your mirror become a window. You say, Harry, what do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. Is it that every time you look at a, as it were, out from between your eyes, from through your eyes, all you ever see is something to do with you? It reflects back. And you and I can become self-centered. Everything that ever happens in the world or in the church or to anybody else is related immediately to ourselves. We see nothing and nobody but myself. And he said, let your mirrors become windows. See through, out to other people and to the needs of your brothers and sisters in Christ and the needs of the world. And pray for them. Our prayer should have a worldwide aspect. All the saints, says Paul. For all the saints. Now, of course, he knows that we can't pray by name for every Christian in the whole world. There are millions. We must have a worldwide vision, always. God is moving across the world by that book, by Send the Light. Operation World, I think it's called that. Operation World tells you about every country in the world. And pray for all the saints. Let your mirrors become windows this morning. Look out across the world, the fields that are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust out labourers into the harvest. Provide pastors for these new congregations. Open hearts in Muslim countries and other places. Pray for all the saints. Pray for Europe. Pray for Britain, the saints in Britain. Other churches. Do you take your evangelical times and read about churches that have been founded in Britain, perhaps small fellowships, or how that God has blessed them financially, as they've been able to pay to put up this tin tabernacle? Or do you say, oh, another boring story, I'll miss that out. Shame on us. We're bidden to pray for all the saints. Do we only pray for churches which are full and packed out and are national names? Or do we pray for churches where it's hard and they're struggling? Let's pray for both. Do we only pray for churches of our own denomination or label? Or do we believe, as it's true, that God has his true churches and his true people in all the denominations, just as there are many who are false? But we're to pray for all the saints. The true church of Christ is one. all the saints. So we need to learn about and what to pray for. Do you pray for this church, your own church? A list of ministries. On our day of prayer, we had a list of ministries. The junior church, the Covenanters, the YPF, the Interfellowship, the Plus Fellowship, the caterers, the cleaners, the flower arrangers, the church officers, the stewards, the finance, the tape ministry, administration, visitation, and 100 or if not 1,000 other ministries. The overseas students work. A list of members. Somebody at the last church members' meeting said, could we have a list of members? Well, until we do that, why not make your own? Why not take some foolscap sheets of paper and start writing down the name of everyone that you know at Lansdowne and then pray for them? Make your own list. Pray for them. And keep adding to the list. And be disciplined in prayer with all perseverance. A list of missionaries and workers. Have you no words, wrote Cowper? Then think again, words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. There's so much to pray for all the saints. Are we a church in prayer? Are we a church that prays in families? Are we a church that prays with our friendships? Are we a church that prays with the Lord in private? You know, Hudson Taylor came home once from China, and one of his mission stations, one of the outposts of the China Inland Mission, had seen unusual blessing. Many conversions and many people coming into a deeper knowledge of the Lord. It seemed as if the Lord had singled out that particular mission station for special blessing. And he was going around the country on one of his visits home to England, and he came to a particular church, and afterwards he was being introduced to various people, and one man came to him and he knew all about that mission station. He knew the names of people there, he knew converts and so on, seemed to know everything about it, and yet communication in those days was not so good. And Hudson Taylor said, how do you know about that place? Or he said, an old chum of mine works there. He's on that mission station. I was at college with him. And so he writes to me regularly and he gives me a detailed report of all that's going on. And I pray about all of it every day. And Hudson Taylor realized yet again that there was the warrior fighting in China and there was the prayer warrior back home in England. By faith they met at the mercy seat. And as the one in England kept on praying with all perseverance and asking God and praying specifically, not just God bless my chum in China, or please bless the work of the China Inland Mission, now the OMF, but please bless that person and that person in this way, and please meet that need and help that particular brother or sister. And I've learnt this, so I'm praying about this, specific. And God answered that prayer. You see, God does bless in answer to prayer. He has blessed us in answer to your prayer, Keswick. I want to say thank you for it, therefore. And D.L. Moody said this, when I get to heaven, next to the wonder of seeing my Saviour, will be, I think, the wonder that I made so little use of the power of prayer. So the Apostle Paul says to us, look, you're in a fight. You're in a great battle. Don't neglect prayer. Pray on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer, with all perseverance in prayer, for all the saints. And then he says, and pray also for me. And next Sunday, God willing, we'll see what he wanted them to pray for him. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have chosen that we should be united in your great purposes through this instrument of prayer. There are aspects of it which are too profound for us to understand, but we do understand the plain statements of Scripture that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we see that in your word, and we see it in our own experience, and yet how weak we are in prayer. We know it's the devil who stops us, as well as the weakness of the flesh, because he's frightened when he sees us praying. We pray therefore, O God, that you will help us not to do it for us, but to prompt us, to poke us, to be families of prayer, to be a church of prayer, to be groups of praying people, and to be individuals who enter into the private place, the quiet place, to pray, to earnestly seek God, especially for others, that they may know great blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.